Welcome to Startup Health Now, the weekly web show that celebrates the healthcare transformers and change makers reimagining health. My name is Unity Stokes, and today we are at the Wearable Tech and Digital Health Conference in San Francisco with a very special guest, Eve Phillips. She is the CEO and co-founder of Empower Interactive, a startup health company. She's an extraordinary entrepreneur, and we're going to be talking about innovation with behavioral health. Stick around, it's going to be a great show.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. Well, I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our difficult now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
Well, right. Welcome, Eve.
Thank you. It's so wonderful
to be with you here today.
Great to be here.
One of the first amazing healthcare transformers in startup health. I thought we'd start out and learn about your backstory, how you became an entrepreneur, how you got started. I know you were a VC earlier in your career, but maybe walk us back through your personal journey.
Sure. No, thank you. And thanks for having me here. So I started out with a technical background and studied computer science, but really had kind of fled to the business side of technology and worked in a variety of roles in software and internet companies and product management and sales and strategy. But also worked as an investor, both in private equity and venture capital. But through this whole time, I'd always kind of kept this interest in the brain and in artificial intelligence and in cognitive science, just kind of always been fascinated about the way the brain works, but I hadn't really figured out how to do that as a profession until a few years back when I started to see, wow, there's all these kind of brain science companies that are using kind of different software and internet technologies to go to market. Maybe there's something in this that I could do. So I spent some time back at the MIT Media Lab. I got to MIT as an undergrad and came across this field of software-based psychotherapy, and this was one where it became obvious that a lot of modern talk therapy is very much about teaching coping techniques for the individual to use to start to address some of their issues. And because of that, it translates really nicely to e-learning software. And the clinical evidence was showing that you could very much do this, but the market hadn't yet adopted it. It seemed just a great opportunity to jump in very early into a way to get essentially a lot more help out to more
folks. And
at
what point did you decide to take this passion and some of the things you're doing, looking at it from a technological perspective, and really create Empower Interactive?
Yeah, well, I think I'd had some been part of like some great teams and some great projects on kind of the internet and the tech side, but nothing that really spoke to me as sort of more that would really encompass more passion. And when I started looking at some of these opportunities, it just both for me personally, because I've just been so fascinated by the way the brain works and how to make people feel better, or how to make those that are already working well even more successful, and just seeing that the huge amount of need in this space, all the people that aren't getting the help that they need, and the opportunity for technology to start to address that, it just seemed like it had so much more both personal and economic potential to really jump into doing something in this digital health area versus in kind of the classic tech area, which was starting to feel a lot more mercenary. So that it seemed to be a no-brainer to start to move my personal path down that journey.
So how do you describe the mission for others of Empower Interactive? What problem are you ultimately solving as a company?
So there are a lot of behavioral health techniques that do work to help people, and people aren't getting them because a lot of the ways that they're delivered are often through other people, through non-scalable means. And so our real mission is to use technology to provide more scale to access to best practices in behavioral health. And that's purposely broad. We do certain things today, but see so much more opportunity in the different ways that digital means can really help get more care to more people, both for those who are getting kind of substandard care today and the many more that aren't getting any kind of care at all.
And so you were very early in this space and in terms of the digital revolution component. What have you learned along the way? What are some of the nuggets that, over the years that have really stood out to you that you would share with other entrepreneurs, other innovators?
Well, being early, or you might say naive, is both a blessing and a curse. But we've definitely learned a lot over time. I mean, one is that as much as there is always there's lots of discussion around the shift towards more value-based care, and very excited to see that happening. You need to build out a business model that both works in today's environment, and for us in behavioral health, it's still vast majority is fee for service, as well as for the environment and the business models and the reimbursement that's coming down the line. So you really need to work. You need to both work today and work tomorrow.
And have you had to adapt in the business models are under mm-hmm. disruption and changing now.
Yeah.
How has that impacted you? And have you sort of had your sight on this for a while or had to adapt as a result?
So no, absolutely. So particularly as a technology vendor, selling software on a software license basis, there's certain organizations for which that kind of sale and that kind of purchase makes sense. In our case, more on the managed care side, or in the existing behavioral health services companies who can then resell our products, but it doesn't necessarily work for the whole market. So if we want to get more into kind of the classic health systems and insurers and employers who may desire broader access to behavioral health for both kind of operational reasons and reimbursement reasons, we actually need to team up more with the services side. So with whether it's the telebehavioral health providers or other organizations that can then combine our products so that we can offer those kind of a full stack service that fits better with their existing reimbursement models. So so we've had to move from just thinking we're going to stay in our software stack to mm-hmm. okay, there's actually we need to kind of combine the services piece of it in our case, which is the therapy or coaching that goes along with the software components so that more folks can purchase and use our programs.
And you mentioned focusing on the business model and really how important that is. There's a debate, I think, especially in Silicon Valley about, should you focus first on product? Should you focus on scaling that? Or focus and have a clear defined business model very early? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, coming up in Silicon Valley, I certainly had a product bias, and my whole background prior to this had a product bias. But I think one of the reasons health tech is more challenging is you kind of have to do both and do both early. Because at the end of the day, if people don't use your products, whether that's the providers, the patients, whoever, particularly if your products are used in the delivery of care, you're not going to have a business. But also, if nobody's going to pay for it, once you run through your investment money, you're not going to have a business
right.
either. So you kind of need to address
who
both.
Pays because
yes.
it's so complicated,
which is a big part of that business model question in terms of really understanding what pain points you're addressing, where the sources of funds come from, and why they're buying your product.
So do you have thoughts in that regard in terms of what you might recommend to early entrepreneurs just getting started in digital health in terms of how best to discover their business model?
It's interesting. I had a friend who had spent a long career in healthcare giving me some advice early on because I was complaining that it didn't seem rational that, this product was better and, it costs less and why weren't people buying it? And she said, stop right there. Things are not necessarily rational in the healthcare industry.
Right.
And they are rational. You just have to understand where all the incentives are structured. It just takes a lot more digging than just sort of the surface level, well, it's cheaper, so people must want it. Because that doesn't necessarily always work. So, I think in terms of kind of discovering it, it's really about spending a lot of time really understanding what those forces are that are driving the dynamics in whatever aspect of healthcare that you're getting into so that you can understand how that all plays out. And oftentimes that also requires getting beyond the high level, this is great, we want to help everyone and we want to help people feel better. Because lots of people say that and mean it, but then when it comes down to it, when you're at the conversation of how are we going to pay for this, then you're getting into kind of the real nuts and bolts of what's going to eventually drive your business.
What are your thoughts? You've seen tech, you're in Silicon Valley, in terms of the cycles, the timelines, and your thoughts on what entrepreneurs should be prepared for. From your own experience, what are your thoughts?
Certainly things just take longer. I mean, assuming that you are going in sort of a, especially if you're going more of a B2B.
Were you expecting that when you started?
Not to the degree that it turned out to be the case. So that was definitely another learning process. So I think, you know, if you're able to raise enough capital, then that certainly helps in, you know, kind of pushing through those leaner times. But I think it also means, structuring the operational side of your business. You're not spending too much money yet early on when you know you're going to have 6, 12, 18, 24-month cycles, especially to get some of your early customers up and running and to start showing those results. Mm. And if you have to go down more of a clinical trial type process, which you obviously try to do in parallel, that also can take a significant amount of time. Of course, if you get good results, that's also a great barrier to build your company's moat and defensibility versus other potential competitors. But it does take a while.
And what are you seeing in the market? Are you seeing things change as you're talking to customers, as you're talking to investors, as you're out there in the environment from, say, a few years ago when you got started? Is it a different environment? Is it similar and it just takes time?
Actually, you know, it's definitely getting better. And it was interesting. Last week we were with a major payer, and I'd been sort of working with them for quite some time, sort of seeing the play-by-play and perhaps not being quite as aware, kind of like the frog in the boiling water, of the changes that I was seeing. But my chairman, who was also at the meeting and has been, come in at different points, said, you know, this company has changed a lot. You know, they are, you know, much more interested in doing innovation. In our case, they're getting behavioral health. You know, they're thinking about how to be agile. I mean, this is not things that we heard them say 2 years ago. So, you know, I think you are seeing change. It's never as fast as the entrepreneur would like.
But when you step back,
that's when you can start to say, wow, you know, these conversations are going a lot better, and we're skipping all that stuff we had to explain before. Now we're just trying to, you know, dive right into the nuts and bolts of how we could make this work together.
So what's coming for Empower Interactive? What are you most excited about? What's the future look like?
I mean, for us, I think this whole concept of how we connect our tools with teletherapy services and telepsychiatry services, so that we can provide that overall offering to organizations that have large numbers of patients that need, or, you know, or members or employees that could use behavioral health services but don't have access to great ones today. You know, maybe they're just handed a prescription, or they're just handed a piece of paper with some therapists who may or may not take insurance or be taking new patients. I think there's such a better way to get care to those folks that's, you know, less expensive, more convenient. So thinking about how we can use our tools to kind of scale into that business is very exciting.
So last couple of questions here. How do you stay healthy? You're traveling a lot. You work very hard. What do you do, or what does your team do to stay healthy?
It's a great question. I mean, certainly we sell products that are all about, you know, we use a technique called cognitive behavior therapy in our products, but much of that is really about self-awareness. And so certainly we try to incorporate that in our own discussions and our own awareness of, you know, whether or not we're kind of both at our physical and emotional, you know, best selves. We're probably never at our best selves, but if we're too far
striving
away from it,
that.
If we're striving from that. And so I think that helps us, you know, have the difficult conversations that can often drive a lot of stress if you don't deal with things. And then more on the personal side, I've always been a runner, although I'm slowing down with the impending child coming.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're very excited.
But hopefully we'll get back to that soon. I got the baby jogger already. But you know, that's been for me a great sport to both that I can do while traveling and also to keep a lot of social connections through different running teams and such that are very important to have as part of a support network, I think, when you're doing a startup.
Absolutely. Last question. Do you have a favorite book or something you read or something you'd recommend to other entrepreneurs for advice or wisdom or just learning?
Oh, I have so many favorite books. So it's funny, when I was just re-looking at and in fact gave to my niece recently is the Soul of the New Machine, the Tracy Kidder book, about one of the original, you know, chips that was being created. It just so well captures the potential of a small, passionate team to do things that nobody else thought was possible. I mean, that story has been repeated, thankfully, for probably human society many times over, but they just felt like that book book captured it super well, and it's just a fascinating read if you're trying to create that kind of team and that kind of product.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for everything you do for the ecosystem. You're always there and very supportive of other entrepreneurs.
So thank you.
From the whole Startup Health family, you know, we love having you as a healthcare transformer and love everything that you do. And just want to thank you for being an inspiration.
Well, thanks to Startup Health for all the help that you've given us.
Thank you. Thank you, and we'll see you soon.